everybody, and welcome to the Happy Project Podcast. Put your hands together for the hostess with the mostest and the man with the plan, Becky and Sky Setty.
What up, what up?
I had to come in with extra energy this time because our last recording, I was being a banana slug, and now I've got my energy back.
You seem quite normal in the last episode. That's how you normally are.
Really?
I guess you're like a banana slug every episode.
I just felt like last time I was kind of like, I was like a plant that doesn't get enough sunlight. I was drooping. Losing leaves.
Yeah.
But now I'm back.
Yes, you are.
I'm a fresh bamboo sprout.
I need a little bit more energy too.
Okay, here we go. I'm sending to you it. I sound like cicadas.
Shout out to everyone who's dealing with those cicadas in the States right
now. The 17-year, what do you call that? It's not a drought. It's a 17-year...
slumber? I don't know.
Oh, creepy. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that is a welcome sound to everyone. So welcome to the Happy Project Podcast. This is why I'm a voice actress. I have an ability to recreate the sounds with just my mouth. It is a valuable tool to have.
There's a difference between voice acting and doing sound effects.
Yeah, what is that person called? The one who does sound effects with their mouth?
Like the name of the person?
Well, no, it's not just one person. It's a job. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is that? Anyway, you're pretty good at impressions.
Yeah, sometimes.
He's very good at impressions, but not when you put him on the spot.
Right.
So if I put you on the spot and I say, do an impression of Obama, it will come out really wonky.
Oh, I will not do that right now. Whoa, see, that was really bad.
See, yeah, you're not doing justice. Your impressions are very powerful. They bring me to tears, as you can see right now. So
we
have the impressionist over here and the voice actress, sound effects extraordinaire.
Yes.
If you guys want to hear me to do some sound effects that you'd like me to try, you can let us know in the comments below. Well, you know what? Maybe that's related to our topic, because sometimes people have special skills. Mm-hmm. And having special skills gives you an edge, depending on the industry you're working in. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe. Some special skills might include looking different. Does that give you an edge in the industry? In layman's terms, does...
You're like really trying to make this transition.
Yeah, I want it to go smoothly. Does being mixed give you an edge in Korea? That is kind of the topic we wanted to discuss today. Because I think sometimes people ask us, you know, or especially if I mention, oh, I've done modeling in Korea. Before, people used to say, oh, yeah, well, they love half Koreans over there, is a comment I would hear regularly. Mm-hmm. You must get lots of work being half white. And it's kind of an interesting comment to hear. And oftentimes you just take it and you go, okay, yeah, great. I'll use that benefit if I can. But I realize on the flip side, it can also kind of show what is actually happening in the Korean psyche about mixed race people. Mm-hmm. Either they're fetishized and praised, or it's maybe weird and frightening, or it's like, they're so smart and clever, or it's, okay, they can only do this one thing because they're no good at anything else. So it's a weird double standard that I find. But that is kind of the topic we wanted to discuss a little bit today. Does being mixed give you an edge here in Korea?
Well.
And go.
So to answer the question, if I had to choose an answer, I don't know. Initially I was thinking yes. Mm-hmm. But more than that, I think it just depends.
Okay.
I think it definitely can give you an edge. And it depends on what we're talking about. For example, mm-hmm. I think if you're like a mixed Korean and you are, say, just for example, say from America and you're half white, half Korean, and you speak Korean fluently, even natively, and you speak English fluently, I think there's a greater chance of you maybe getting certain opportunities over anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and on top of that, let's just say, I don't know, you had both passports, you know, Korean passport and yours. I mean, you're essentially
that's loads
like,
of edges.
Yeah. So I think a situation like that would give you an advantage
mm-hmm.
because, you know, for example, a lot of different companies are always looking for someone who is obviously can speak Korean, but who is fluent in English.
Mm-hmm.
English fluency is very big in a lot of companies here,
mm-hmm.
So much so that you and I, we've had many different gigs with different companies teaching English and mm-hmm. tutoring. So, yeah, I think a situation like that, you can definitely have an advantage.
Let's play these two situations side by side then, okay? Because when I hear this, it's like, of course you would pick that person. The language fluency, the passport freedom, what's not to love about that? But if you put it in this kind of circumstance, and I wonder what you have to say. So you have somebody who's born and raised in Korea and has a Korean passport and is ethnically Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have someone who's born and raised in, we'll say the States, is mixed Korean, half white, half Korean, and only has a U.S. passport. Okay?
I know where you're going with this.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And then this person speaks English and Korean fluently.
Mm-hmm.
They working, looking for a job in Korean.
The one that
is Korean.
Yeah.
And then the person here with the American passport speaks English and Korean fluently and is looking for a job in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this situation, who has the edge?
The one that's born in America.
Why?
Because I think the expectations are different than if you were born here. If you're born here, you're expected to be Korean in everything and how you look at things, how you treat people. But if you're from America, you get certain, like, I guess, you get a pass on
it's like
a lot
allowances.
Of stuff. Yeah, you know? You get some passes on some stuff. And plus, and how can I say this? Generally speaking, Korea looks at America highly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Korea sort of has this complex. I'm not saying everybody in Korea, but I'm just saying the general sentiment.
Mm-mm-mm.
Korea has a complex of looking up to America, and but also they're sort of like this middle in the middle where they might look down on other countries, generally speaking, who are in less of a socioeconomic position. So, so I think that sort of mindset, even though it's subtle or it could be overt, who knows? I think that gives you the advantage if you're born in America as a mixed Korean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is all speculation, I suppose, but.
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe that, though, generally.
I also will have to agree. I think historically, when we look at Korea, we can see these kind of superiority and inferiority complexes at play in the political sphere, in just the regular daily life, the way people are treated and viewed, depending on which country you're coming from and how you also appear. And so that all being said, if this is the stage is set. Then when the theater appears and we have somebody who's half white and half Korean, someone who's fully Korean, the job is the same. They're both angling for it. They both have every other qualification the same. It would appear also to me that the role would go to somebody who's mixed Korean and from the States. But now we flip it on the other side. Okay. Say it's somebody who is Southeast Asian. Maybe they are Vietnamese and Korean. Okay. Or Filipino and Korean. Would those same benefits be granted to this person? In your experience, what would you have to say?
I don't know. I don't think I can honestly answer that because I don't have a lot of personal experience. I have my assumption. I would definitely think that they wouldn't get as many opportunities because of, again, just how Korea views, in general, countries that are like Southeast Asian. So I would assume that there would be some sort of a stigma carried with certain people. Even if you're, I just feel like if someone is like half Vietnamese or and half Korean, immediately when Korea knows that, they might have certain assumptions about them or, you know, certain. They might just assume that they were born out of a certain situation. Mm-hmm. So they already have this negative outlook. I'm trying mm-hmm. to, I'm being careful with my words because again, it does not apply to
exactly
to everyone for sure.
Because it's easy to take this and run with it as blanket statements.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my cop-out answer.
I think that the most important thing to remember, because I have met some people who are mixed Korean and white and who come with this assumption that because I am mixed Korean and white, I'm going to have it a lot better here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able, people are going to think a little bit more kindly of me and maybe I can be a model. This is honestly the thing I hear the most, like, oh, I can be a model because I'm white and Korean.
Right.
And it's kind of at this point a little bit laughable when I think about that, because there may have been a time, and it might still be a time, where that is true, where it's, oh, wow, because you're white and Korean, you could be a model. You should be a model. It's almost like saying, you're tall, you should be a basketball player. We know that's ludicrous because that's not all that it takes to mm-hmm. have that kind of job. Yet this is easily an assumption that is made, especially when we see so many white Koreans in the entertainment industry.
Right.
And so it's easy assumption to make. I think the important thing to remember, however, is that even if regardless you being white and Korean is given that sort of edge in that sort of industry, it doesn't necessarily mean because of you as an individual. It is simply something that has been granted to you, judging by the outside world's beliefs or value mm-hmm. that they put into an individual who looks a certain way.
Yeah.
We can even, if it makes it easier, let's widen the scope, because it can be hard to kind of wrap your mind about that when it seems to be so niche. Widen the scope, even just talking about the concept of beauty and certain models. Wow, that's a supermodel because of her figure, her proportions, you know, her face, her weight, all of these things combined. She's so beautiful. She's a supermodel. But that already is based on the assumption that all of society is saying this certain look is beautiful and worthy of being a supermodel and mm-hmm. gracing all of our magazine covers.
Right.
In reality, that person was born at the right time. Just happened to have all of these benefits given to her because of the value the outside society puts on those qualities that she carries innately and she had nothing to do about.
Right.
So I believe that it can be the same thing when it comes to being mixed Korean in Korea. Does it give you an edge? Perhaps. But it is simply because of, at this moment, the value that the outside society is given to those qualities that you innately carry.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think in your supermodel example, that's an unfair advantage, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Mm.
Like, if you have an unfair advantage, because we all have unfair advantages. I have a couple, like, for example, I'm looking at starting a second YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
right? And I have to start from scratch. I have to rebuild. But my unfair advantage in starting this channel is I've already started another channel and I already have I already know how to do the filmmaking. I know how to make it look good
mm-hmm.
versus someone who's just starting out. So I have an unfair advantage that way. A lot of people, when it comes to appearances, they have an unfair advantage because, I mean, studies have been done for decades.
Mm.
It shows that people who are prettier or society deems prettier, they will likely get more opportunities.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, all things being equal with someone else who isn't as pretty, quote unquote. So I think, for a lot of mixed Koreans, there are certain, it could be an unfair advantage that mm-hmm. you, like, for example, for me, I do, you know, commercial modeling on the side,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not my main thing, not my main pursuit, but hey, you actually introduced me to a couple of agencies last year. 2 years ago is when you started to make the connections for me. I didn't get anything until like over a year later. But anyways, I've been privileged enough to do a handful of commercials this year. And I feel like I try to use my unfair advantage, I guess, because I'm on the foreign model side, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I would ever pass as a Korean model.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I do like my model audition tapes, and I picked this up from you, because usually they'll have you do your name, your height, where you're from.
Yeah.
You know, and I always throw in, my name is Cedric Stout. I'm from the United States. I'm a half Korean from the United States, because I realize if I just throw that in there, there's a good chance that will give me just a slight
gives you a little
slight
of an edge,
right?
Yeah.
whether they think I look it or not, it gives them like, oh, it's affinity. Maybe like, oh, he'll be easier to work with, yes, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I use that.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that is an absolute perfect example of the edge that might exist.
Right.
And it is something I also noticed when I used to have business meetings. Excuse me. When I used to have business meetings, when I was working with a different agency, and a meeting with, you know, people who are running the business and we're trying to have some kind of work together. And I honestly was terrible at doing these business meetings. I didn't really understand fully what was going on. I was new to this work. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. But I picked up very quickly that a lot of times my manager or my boss would take me on these business meetings, not really to talk or pitch anything, but for the client to see me. And then she would say, oh, she works for us. She'll be on the team. By the way, she's half Korean and also from the States. And she would just slide it in there. And then the client would feel like, oh, businessman, acumen, American business, speaks English. And suddenly all of these opportunities I could see were like sparkling up their eyes. Purely on the base alone of my boss saying, she's half Korean from the States. You know what that means. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Doesn't really mean anything. Let's be honest. It doesn't mean I have any business sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't even speak English fluently or Korean fluently. They had no idea. But that, it was like the magic phrase alone, you know? And so I learned that very quickly. I was useless on these meeting trips. But simply holding this appearance gives you, in some circumstances, an edge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if that would apply to everyone or every industry, but right, you and I, we have more of an experience in the entertainment industry. You far more than I do, especially when it comes to modeling and even in TV. I was going to say movies, but I don't think you've done any movies, right?
Nope, not yet.
Yeah, but even with my short time of being here, I've been able to see how those advantages can be used, but also I don't know. For some, it may not even be an advantage; it could be a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show that there are, and this is just real talk. I'm not saying this to be negative, but there are still certain ways that Korean views certain people or types of people, and so if you're lumped into that category, it could be a bad thing. I'm not saying that all is lost, but you just have to work with the situation and just try to work even harder or make yourself even more known or more valuable.
Yes.
It's just, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
And that's not only in Korea. I mean, that's even in the States when it comes to opportunity and advantages. There are biases everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's how I see it at this point. You know, perhaps the longer I live here, things will change, mm-hmm, and I'll see more of the spectrum. But yeah, as of right now, I do feel like there is either an advantage or a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Probably less of people just in the middle. It's either one or the other.
Yeah, and I will agree. I think maybe this is a little bit of a clickbaity title to say, oh, you got an edge being half Korean in Korea. But the reality is every single circumstance is going to be different. Maybe you have an edge in some cases, but in other circumstances with other people, they're going to view you a little bit differently. And what you considered was your edge, maybe your downfall. And I think also if you come to Korea, especially for those who are interested in coming to Korea, if you come to Korea with this mindset, like I'm half Korean, so I have this extra benefit, you know, people are going to welcome me more and I look a little bit Korean, but I'm also exotic, so I'm going to stand. It's going to be great. You might come to Korea with this expectation, but I think you will find it's not always going to be as you hope. And in reality, carrying this self, I guess, self-valuing yourself above others purely on how you look,
AKA arrogance,
can turn people to feel resentful,
sure,
about you. And so I think it can be a very good reality check to carry on yourself. So more than relying on being half Korean, in reality, you should rely on those doors of opportunities that have been granted you. Talk to your parents. What is it like to be a Korean? Learn about the Korean culture. Learn the Korean language. These doors of opportunity that you already carry by being half Korean, take those instead of relying on this magical edge you may think you have purely on being half Korean.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's really all I wanted to say. One last thing. I found this blog on Naver from one of our Korean listeners, and it was a very interesting post this person had made. And the point that they wanted to make, they said they had been watching our videos, and they drew a conclusion that these people think they are something special. You know, 자기가 특별하다고 생각하는 사람들이라고, right? And I was like, ooh, it's very interesting. Takeaway from our channel, because I feel like a lot of times we have people who watch our channel or listen to our episodes and are just like, they're so sad, right? Mm-hmm. So many sad things, boohoo. But this person took away, wow, these people think they're really something special because they stand out. And that I think is a dangerous concept if indeed that is what we're putting off, because it is not about, you know, we stand out, we're so special at all, but it's simply by talking about these topics, highlighting these topics that are just innately with who we are, trying to work through it so we can fully understand how can we now, being ourselves, relate with the community around us. And so if you come to Korea with that mindset of, oh, I'm something special, yeah, people will probably see that, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing necessarily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is a balance between being fully yourself and also living together with the people around you.
Yeah. I think if you just have a more balanced expectation, then there's less room to offend others and to also be disappointed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are special. Don't get us wrong. Everyone's special. That's the thing.
I know.
Don't think you're like more special than the next person, but also use those unfair advantages whenever possible.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Why not? It's like you don't go to a business meeting pretending you're an idiot just so that you can make them spill and trick, and you can trick them and then get information. No, if you're smart, be smart and be clever, you know, handle it well. All right. Okay. We just jumped off the rails and we're going swimming somewhere now. So let's bring it back here. And since I said that, I guess it's time for a listener mail. So we had a nice message that came in from a listener named Sally. And Sally said, "Hi, Becky and Cedric. I just came across your videos on YouTube a few weeks ago during the COVID stay at home order in Toronto, Canada. And I'm so glad that you two recommended your videos to me. I just wanted to thank both of you for your inspiring, relatable, and heartwarming videos. The content is great and the production quality is excellent. Watching the videos is both entertaining and educational." And then she throws out her blog, Cultural Mashup. .wordpress.com, that is based loosely on multiculturalism. The audience is basically my friends and cousins. I just published a new post and mentioned your YouTube channels and included some quotes from Becky's interview with Sarah Henriet. As you know, Sarah, she is the CEO of Sud de Vie, the wine company. My hope is that my blog readers will see things from another point of view and watch your videos too. I have some friends and family members who are mixed, including myself, 3/4 Chinese, 1/4 European, and it's nice to know there are mixed communities and media out there sharing their our stories. Thanks so much for your work." Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
Hey, I think it is, I feel like you've reached a certain stage when people are quoting your work somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's very different to quoting myself on my own Instagram. You put the quote marks and then the dash, quote by Becky White.
Yeah.
It's significantly less cool.
Leveling up there.
Yeah, I know. It's not me, now it's someone else. So thanks, Sally, for writing in. And if anyone else has anything they'd like to send us, questions, comments, concerns, stories, you can always get in touch at thehappyproject@gmail.com. Subscribe to this YouTube channel, or you can listen to this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. And that being said, this is the moment where Sky said he's going to leave an amazing final last word for our listeners.
Be yourself.
Thanks for listening. We are The Happy Project.